Well, good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to the Intrepid Birdman Show. If you caught it last week, the swelling should have gone down by now, and you'll be ready for another dose. What have we got ready for you on this week's programme? Well, much more of the same, really. Last week we had great moments in British history. Well, we'll have another one of those. We have the Sunday Moan, and that's forthcoming at the end of the programme. But before that, yes, before that, another expose. Last week we showed you how to become a disc jockey. This week we're going to show you how to do your own video nasty. Everything you ever wanted to know about the film, the technique, the scripts, the acting, the special effects, etc. At the end of the programme, here is hot gossip. But just for the moment, just to get you in the mood of the programme, Whitney Houston and I Want to Dance with Somebody. Anybody will do, even me.
Hour, and the sun begins to fade.
There's no need to go on about it, sweetie. I'll dance with you any time. There she is, the delightful, the lovely Whitney Houston. And I want to dance with somebody. Well, ladies and gentlemen, time now for the do-it-yourself video nasty course. We can do no more than draw a fine example from this splendid piece from The Hitcher. Listen carefully to this hideously, altogether ghastly piece of prose.
You want to know what happens to an eyeball when it gets punctured? You got any idea how much blood jets out of a guy's neck when his throat's been slit?
Yes, they don't make him like that every day. Do you know how much gore drops out of an eyeball when you stick a knife in it? Well, fortunately not. And there's more where that came from. Listen carefully to the next stunning line.
What's so funny?
That's where the other guy's in.
Who's the other guy?
The guy who was driving that car back there. The guy who picked me up before you did.
Was that him in the car?
Yeah, sure it was. Didn't have walked very far.
Why is that?
Because I cut off his legs. And his arms. And his head.
Yes, great stuff, isn't it? Well, that's the most important thing in a video nasty. You really must have a stunningly bad script. The worse, the better. Sit down and think up all the really ghastly cliches you can. And while you're thinking about them, give some thought to the human brain. Nothing has excited science more than the human brain. I've heard it used in just about every video nasty I've ever seen. Take these stunning examples.
Gregory, look. The human brain, even more than the human heart, is God's greatest handiwork. Millions and millions of cells, and each separate cell a treasure house in which is guarded its own store of human passions. Wit and wisdom, sin and repentance, envy, hatred, greed, and love.
He should be proud when he wakes up with a human brain.
This night's dreaming will step him up a million years in the pattern of evolution.
Makes you wonder what they were putting the human brain into, doesn't it? Gosh, amazing! But listen to this!
I now know that I have created a mental vampire, a fiend that needs to drain the intellect to survive and multiply.
Supposing you're right, Professor, how does it live?
How else but in the brains and nerve centers removed from these dead people?
Then where are they and why can't we see them? This is nonsense.
We're facing a new form of life that nobody understands.
And that, of course, is the other essential ingredient in any of these horror films. Yes, of course, the doubting Thomas, the man of science who stands up, puts his hand on his heart and says, no, this can't possibly happen, this couldn't possibly exist, only to be proved horribly wrong when whatever it was he was proving the non-existence of suddenly leaps out of a dark corner somewhere and tears his throat out. Or in this case, rips out his entire spinal column.
He's dead.
Yes, of course, he's dead. He's a complete mess. That's the other great cliche. You really must remember that one. He's dead. Okay, there are three things to remember when making your own video nasty. Mark them well. A, plenty of sex. B, plenty of violence. And C, nothing else of any great consequence. Coming up after the record will be other things you'll need to do around making video nasties, like gathering together props and gathering together the various bits of equipment you'll need to make your very own film. First of all, however, here's a record by somebody who also doesn't have a brain, and it's one of only two records he ever made that were any flipping good.
We could rendezvous in a country pub I know, in the heart of rural England, where the landlord's horse moustaches, just like Jimmy Edwards, and the crisps and onions in the bar are numberless of the stars at night. We're just about to order scampi in an Elizabethan basket, when two necklace men in blazers and cravats approach our table and say, sorry, this bar is exclusively for the use of Nobel Prize winners. Latter-day Saints, people who have seen God, and selected relatives of our dear Queen. And furthermore, you worm, there is mud upon your plate. themselves. I reply that I'm a member of most elitist cliques. She cared a name, and the blood which courses at an ever-increasing speed as it happens to my veins belonged once to the Cuban royal family. But they don't listen, and they just pour my drink down the sink and say, this is not what we mean. In this life, one is either you or non-you, and if I were you, I'd make myself bloody scarce. I even try and show them my credit cards, but I'm moved, they say. Okay, Sonny, it's time you were taught a lesson, and there's only one thing that you should understand. We're Night Owl, we're the world of Pomeroy. We're Night Owl, we're the famous paranoid. We're Night Owl, we're the world of Pomeroy. We're Night Owl, we're the famous paranoid. At an Iberian eatery in the West End, we could gaze at each other across saucers of yoghurt and bits of crusty foreign bread. And then I could order a carafe of Asti. We could have so much fun. We could discuss things like communism and chart positions with a lack of inhibitions and separate the truly liberated from the herd. But I should mention that I talk quite loud. I'm some casualty of inexpensive foreign wine, and neither am I unaware of the restive noises from the party sitting close by. But as I'm in the middle of my funny story about the Arab and the underwater toilet, I can't stop now, because I'm in too deep. As I'm coming to the part where I say my best joke-telling voice, so the Arab says to the attendant, right? Of course, as we know, 5,000 pounds of pressure can suck out almost anything. It all goes quiet, and here a little girl is saying, Danny, what a horrible man. And Danny replies, don't worry, darling, because I've just made a phone call to your crypto-fascist Uncle Roger, and he'll be here quite soon, and make quite sure he doesn't upset any little girls. Or girls anymore. We're in a night out. Bath, and I believed you like a fool. But now you get up, go to the window, and you turn a pot plant round. I study a naked bottom with a twinge of lust, but I'm not twigging that something's going down. There is a sound of heavy boots upon the stairs, and the door crashes open, and in comes your dad with some faithful retainers and some ex-army mates from the Conservative Club. And I figure they must have been waiting all night, because your dad is clutching two reels of infrared film, and he's looking dangerously pale as he shows me the microphone under the bed. And I'm just about getting the message. Oh, it's not too groovy. Wake up! And yeah, it was all a dream. And I'm really in a hospital bed. There is a smell of formaldehyde in the air, and a couple of doctors with swastikas on their arm are doing something to the brain of a sheep. And in the corner is a huge zinc bath containing some sort of reptile. And the nurse is saying, be a brave boy and drink it all up. And I realise I can't feel my legs, and the shape of the bed isn't my shape at all. And I wanna cry out, but I can only bleat. We're a night out.
Thanks very much, Barry Andrews. Night out with the famous paranoid. Well, here we are in a well-known cemetery in West London, and we're actually looking for props for our do-it-yourself video nasty. Well, of course, some props are very difficult to come by. I tried at least three undertakers with the line, "Have you got any old empty boxes, mate?" only to be thrown completely out of the place. So we're going to have to come down here and see if we can find one that's been, well, slightly second-hand. How's it going, chaps?
All right, mate.
Have you got there? Let's have a look. Oh, it's a bit dirty, isn't it? Hang on, let's open it up and have a look inside. Oh, no. Oh, that's a bit off. No, it's full of wrigglers. Oh, horrible thing. The problem with this sort of nonsense, really, is you've got to get the permission of the relatives, and they tend to be a bit touchy when you start cutting their nearest and dearest off just to take a sort of a non-speaking part in a horror movie. Okay, well, I think we'll rethink that and make that one out of cardboard. After the next record break, we're going to go down to our nearest supermarket and we're going to look at all the horror props that are available to you within easy reach of the average supermarket shopping trolley.
I had to tell the barmaid, send me good advice. Hurry up me order and I'll treat you real nice. Cause I feel a little ill. I wanna drink. I wanna drink. I wanna drink. I wanna drink. Me mind is on a blink of light, a missing link. I wanna drink. Open a cage. Cubes, it'll never fail. I wanna drink. I wanna drink. I wanna drink. I wanna drink. I'm giving you the wink, oh please, and let me think. I wanna drink. Pour it in a shaker, shake it like a bitch. Never mind a princess, we all know she's rich. I wanna drink.
Well, here we are in Sainsbury's, the top people shop. No mucking about for the members of Clockwork Wireless. We only shop in the best places. Thanks very much, incidentally, to Nick Farron from the LP Vampire Stole My Lunch Money. Now, here we are looking for props for our video nasty. And where should I come to? But, of course, the condiments. One thing that's very, very often used in horror films and very difficult to get hold of is human blood. It's probably illegal to shed it under most circumstances, and you can never get enough volunteers. So, we have to use the old Kensington Gore human blood substitute. Good old-fashioned tomato ketchup. Almost any sort will do, but the best one, of course, is Heinz, because it's the right colour, the right consistency, and dries to a beautiful brown scab, more importantly. Now, whilst we're down here, we're going to have a look around for a human brain substitute, so we'll move on swiftly a pace to green grocery. There we are. Look, there's a nice cauliflower there. Now, if you've ever taken the top of your skull off and had a look inside, you'll notice the human brain looks just like a cauliflower, but it's messier. So you just pour some of the Kensington Gore on top. What else? Oh, yes, some nice human entrails here. These look jolly good. They're in fact strings of sausages, but again, you know, dipped in the Kensington Gore, they can pass off as almost anything. We need a hot water bottle, we need some rubber gloves, and we also need a cabbage. More about those later under special effects. Now, here's real magic down here in the delicatessen. You'll notice all these bowls of chopped fruit and nuts and things all in a sort of creamy sauce. Well, this looks just like vomit, doesn't it, really? And that's what we use it for. We sling it about, and it looks just like vomit. And the beauty of it is that it tastes delicious. You can eat it afterwards, which will thoroughly disgust the rest of the staff. But there's no point in wasting it, so jolly nice. Right, that's about it for horror props. After the record break, we'll be looking at getting the equipment together and doing the film and special effects.
Up until one century ago, there lived in the Zhejiang province of an eastern country a glass-like spider. having devoured its prey, it would drape the skeletons over its web, in weeks creating a macabre shrine of remains. Its web was also unique in that it had many layers, like floors of a building. At the top of this palace-like place, assembled with almost apparent care, were tiny, shining objects, glass, beads, dewdrops. One could almost call it an altar. When the breeze blew through this construction, it produced sounds of wailing, crying, tiny wails, tiny cries. The baby spiders would get scared and search frantically for their mother, but the glass spider would have long gone, having known that the babies would survive somehow on their own. Oh, the glass spider had blue eyes almost like a human's. They shed tears at the winter turn of the centuries. Don't you hear this waste and cry? Life is over you. Let me come back as the world is on gone. But you've seen who's in heaven. Is there anyone here? Let me come back as it's out now.
Really weird stuff there from David Bowie from his brand spanking new album, Don't Let Me Down. That was The Glass Spider, and remember you heard it first here on Clockwork Wireless. Okay, do-it-yourself video nasties for beginners, part the umpteenth. The expensive bit is, of course, the video camera. They're frightfully expensive. It certainly doesn't warrant going out and buying them just to make a video nasty. No, better by far to hire one from Radio Rentals. For only 30 quid a day, you can get away with absolute bloody murder, to coin a phrase. Well, of course, the most important thing to do when you're borrowing somebody else's video recorder is to insure it. Oh, for heaven's sake, insure it. Don't take it back to the shop all dripping with mud and tell them you dropped it down an open grave and expect them to smile. They won't. They'll get the right shirt about it. Now then, you've got the camera, you've got your film crew, and you've got a really ghastly plot. Let's go down to a local cemetery that I know of and conjure up a storm. Do you know how to conjure up a storm? It's quite easy. Photographic flash gun for the lightning, a big roll of tin for the thunder, and then get 20 of your mates to stand behind the gravestones puffing packets of woodbines for the rolling grey mist. Now what you'll need to get this film off the ground is a good opening special effect. And no special effect is more spectacular than that old movie cliché, the violent decapitation. See that old head spinning across the graveyard and already your pulse is racing. Do you want to know how to do it? Well, I'll show you how to do a really convincing video decapitation just after the next record.
I think it will please. It may shock. It might even horrify. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Something you said, I just died in your arms tonight. I keep looking for something I can't get. Broken hearts lie all around me, and I don't see an easy way to get out of this.
Yeah.
neo-nasties, sudden violent decapitations, special effects. Yes, there is no more gory special effect than the sudden, violent, and unexpected removal of a head by means of an axe. But it stands to reason that you can't just go around decapitating people without drawing the attention of the local police force. They take a very dim view of this sort of thing, and the actors are very hard to come by after a short while. So, somehow, we've got to fake it. How can we do this? Well, it's quite simple, really. First, you get your volunteer to stand in front of the camera and swing an axe violently at his head. At the last moment, just before the axe strikes, you stop the film in the camera and get the actor to tuck his head underneath his left arm. Under the right arm, you place the hot water bottle full of ketchup. And in the place where the head was, you put a cabbage, paint it pink, stick a nose on the front of it, a wig on top of it, and a hat on top of that, and then start the film and swing the axe the rest of the way. The head goes bouncing off down the pavement, the neck spurts blood in an unexpected fashion when he squeezes his arm, thus constricting the hot water bottle and thrusting the ketchup up into the air, and there you have the gory, violent special effect.
You just stay away from me, or so help me, I'll blow it to every newspaper in the country.
Point to remember, make sure the actor's nut is out of the way before the axe falls. Because it's very hard to get a job in this business as it is without having to contend with not having a bonce, all right?
It was way past midnight and she still couldn't fall asleep. This night the dream was leaving. She tried so hard to keep. And with the new dawning, she felt it drifting away. Not only for a cruise, not only for a day. Too long ago, too long apart, she couldn't wait another day for the captain of the heart. As the day came up, she made a stop. She stopped waiting another day for the captain of the heart.
Captain of the Heart.
we come to the dreaded killer flesh-eating zombie from outer space. Yes, no monster movie would be complete without its monster, and no more popular monster, of course, than the killer flesh-eating zombie. To find out how to make one for ourselves, we popped down to the studios of Video Nasties Incorporated and elicited the help of their top makeup man, Boris Doppelganger.
Good evening. I'm here to create for you this evening the dreaded killer zombie flesh eater from outer space. I need a volunteer that has been dead for at least 1 week. Hello, yes, you will do. Sit down here, please. Thank you. Schnell, schnell. Now then. The dreaded killer zombie is not difficult to create because, after all, he is so disgusting that nobody can bear to look at him for very long. The face needs to be suitably drawn, so we pull back the flesh with the fingers through the back of the neck, so. And then we secure with a crocodile clip to give the suitably drawn features. The eyeballs need to be sunken, so. Also, we need the hair to be falling out in clumps, so. And where the hair remains, it needs to be stuck onto the head with something gooey, sticky, and generally revolting, thus. Thank you. That is the beginning. Now we need to spatter the whole lot with fresh mud, salt, and paint the remainder white. Now then, the mouth needs to be filled with maggots, if you can get them from the fishing shop. Now pull the tongue forward, so, and put the maggots into the mouth, thus. Thank you. Now pull out the tongue again and get the victim to drop himself into an open grave and then jump up suddenly with the green smoke going, yeah, 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 I think I'm going to kill something almost immediately.
Thank you.
That is the dreadful killer zombie flesh eater from outer space in one lesson.
Wonderful. Thanks very much indeed.
It has been a great pleasure.
Thank you.
Still to come, of course, film soundtracks, The Sunday Moan, and great deaths in British history.
Too.
videos for beginners aren't the last. Every video nasty should have a suitably horrific musical score to it. Now, in days gone by, you could get by with this sort of thing. But these days, I'm afraid that's a bit passé. Music is necessary in order to heighten tension, build up suspense, and prepare the audience for the shock that waits just around the corner. Hitchcock got it right with this one. You could almost feel the knife entering the wound as the blood swirled down the plug hole. Well, you can't put a good tune down. In fact, it is my considered belief that all horror tunes are essentially the same horror tune, either sped up or slowed down. As you can tell, as this example from The Reanimator by H.P. Lovecraft fades gently into Psycho. A sort of Anthony Hopkins goes punk. Conclusions. I'm sure it's the same tune at a different speed. Well, that about wraps it up for do-it-yourself video nasties for this week. Still to come, of course, is the Sunday Moan and great depths in British history.
He's dead. The dosage was too large.
You killed him.
No, I did not. I gave him life.
I'd have given him 6 months.
Let me inside you, into your room. I've heard it's lined with the things you don't show. Lay me beside you, down on the floor. I've been your lover from the womb to the tomb. I dress as your daughter when the moon becomes round. You'll be my mother when everything's gone.
Always.
let me inside you, into your room. I've heard it's lined with the things you don't show. Lay me beside you, down on the floor. I've been your lover from the womb to the tomb. I dress as your daughter when the moon becomes round. You be my mother when everything's gone.
For the Sunday Moan. And this week I'd like to moan to you about batteries. Why is it that whenever I go into a shop to buy a battery, they're only sold in blister packs of four? Yes, it's irritating, isn't it? And there aren't any ordinary batteries to be found anywhere. I must either buy a Duracell, which lasts twice as long but costs four times as much, or a Gold Seal, or a Silver Seal, or a nickel-cadmium-plated battery, or something ridiculous, but never the very thing that I want, one single battery. And why is this? I'll tell you. You see, those nasty little retailers have cottoned on to the idea that when you buy them four at a time, inevitably, by the time you've used the first one up, you've lost the other three. Hence, you buy four times as many batteries as you really need. I think it's time we all popped down to the shops and told them exactly what we thought. And say, stick those blister packs where they'll raise a blister.
Like a beat.
from a tree. I love her, need her. She means so much to me. She's alright. She's got what it takes. She's got what it takes. And with me, she'll really race. Well, oh, now she's my cutie. My tutie fruity, my heart, my love. My bathing beauty, she's alright. She's got just what it takes. She's got what it takes. And with me, she'll really race.
Oh, yes. Time now for great deaths in British history. This week, the death of Mahatma Gandhi. Great loss, sir. Next week, the death of Mary Queen of Scots. But now, Hilly's hot gossip.
It was nearly 20 years ago that David Bowie's album Space Oddity was released, rocketing his career into the superstar class. The record sleeve note mentions that Bowie's music, I quote, "It was now, then, and it still is now, now." And that was then. Personal and universal, perhaps galactic, microcosmic and macrocosmic. Then came Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, which we all played at maximum volume as instructed, followed by hit LPs such as Diamond Dogs, Low in 1977, Scary Monsters, and his latest release, which is featured in the Glass Spider Tour, now playing to one of Bowie's largest audiences, incorporating a magnificent array of lighting equipment and two stage sets, one of which begins with Bowie being lowered onto the stage in a giant, luminous, and very street-credible glass spider. In less than Peter Gabriel and Hugh Cornwell, leader of the Stranglers. Both are residents of the sleepy Somerset village of Washwell, near Bath, and Gabriel has just announced plans to convert part of his 16th century manor house into a recording studio and theatre dedicated to the performing arts. Cornwell is furious at the thought of his peace and quiet being shattered by busloads of noisy theatricals. "I love the quiet atmosphere here, and if hundreds of tourists start coming along to Gabriel's theatre, it will spoil my local pub," says mild-mannered Hugh. "I'm getting together with other residents to stop it." According to Gabriel's minions, the star is unaware of the possible hiccup to his plans. He is currently on tour in Europe. Billy Idol may have to give up wearing his trademark, his tight leather trousers. His doctor says they are the cause of his embarrassing rash. "When I sweated on stage, the leather was leaving a blue dye on my skin," explains red-faced Billy. "When I took my trousers off, I had a bright blue backside. The dye caused a rash. But if I'm forced to stop wearing them for good, then I may have to go into hiding."
Hey, little sister, what have you done?
Spare a tear for former Who bass player John Entwistle, who seems to be the only member of the supergroup who mourns their passing. "Since the band split, I haven't had a single offer to join another group," says John, who consoles himself with the idea that he is an overqualified musician. People are afraid to ask him. Luckily, he hasn't spent the past few years sitting at home twiddling his guitar strings. He's working with Zach Starkey on a new album. "I'm hoping my new career takes off, so I won't have to take part in any Who 25th anniversary plans," says gloomy John, doubtless upset because the group collectively turned down $60 million for a Jubilee tour next year.
"You can't always get it when you really want it. You can't always get it.
are British rock venues so disgustingly dirty? When fans are paying £15 and over to see top acts, it's disgraceful that they should be expected to wade through rubbish around food and bar areas. At Wembley Arena this week, Tina Turner fans stood in the bars amid hamburger wrappers and discarded plastic glasses, and suffering from the overpowering smell of chips. Wembley has plenty of waste bins, claims a spokeswoman, but people just don't use them. They drop rubbish on the floor and don't even look for the bins. Wembley has 20 double bins holding a total of 600 litres of rubbish, which, it is claimed, are regularly emptied throughout rock shows. While Wembley blames the customer, the Americans seem to have got it right. When I've seen shows in the States, there's always much more efficient bar and food services and a constant flow of staff cleaning up the litter. Or, as the state of Wembley suggests, are the British just dirtier than the rest of the concert-going world? It's heartening to be able to tell you that Bob Geldof, ex-Boomtown rot, scruffy failed pop star and famine reliever, has unwittingly helped to save the crumbling Bloomsbury premises of his publishers, Sedgwick and Jackson's. A sizeable chunk of the profits from Geldof's best-selling autobiography, Is That It?, has just been used to halt the stealthy creep of deadly dry rot through the headquarters in Museum Street. Without remedial action, the winking windows of the five-storey late Regency house would eventually have fallen down onto the heads of passing tourists. The rot was spotted during a structural survey carried out before the renewal of the publisher's lease. Is that it? Yes. I'll be back next week with more pop trivia and any hot gossip that comes my way.
Hello.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Well, tragically, we come to the end of another broadcast by the Clockwork Wireless Broadcasting Company. Don't forget that you can write to us at Clockwork Wireless, Suite 14, Creasy House, Tower Bridge Road, London, SE1 4SL. And we'll be back with you again at the same time next week. Yes, that's 7 o'clock each and every Sunday.
Say goodbye, Overteenies.